theories or principles, however you want to term it, that there's a lot of study done about it, a lot of reading, a lot of lessons and so on, and it just needs to be done. It just needs to be an action in our lives. But the Lord did give a model prayer, and that's what we want to look at today, when he instructed his disciples on how to pray, and it's powerful in its brevity. He didn't go on and on about things, but he identified priorities and put in how it should touch on different aspects of our relationship with him and with our relationship with others. And I like the way he says, and it's in our focus verse, Matthew 6, how he says, when thou prayest. It's not a if, it's not a maybe you should, it's when you pray. And thank God we're able to work in that aspect of the Lord being in our midst and providing for us, and then us calling upon him for the needs that we present. So instructions regarding prayer is what the focus thought brings out that are most important. And then, of course, following those instructions, being able to live through the process that the Lord gave to us. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think it's significant that they focused on that because they could have said, Lord, teach us to heal. Lord, teach us to do miracles. Lord, teach us to preach. But they focused on prayer, and I think that's a good focus. And thank the Lord that we're able to live in that realm. And the little article at the beginning of the lesson talks about method living. And they make a presentation about actors who engaged in a method of portraying their character. Well, that's, we recognize it. It is simply a portrayal. It's not a living reality. But I'm amazed at the commitment of some. You probably remember the man who was living in a bus up in the Denali area. I can't remember exactly where it was. But he became injured and starved. He became too weak to hike out from where the bus was, and he ended up passing away, not living through the winter. They made a film of that. I was reading somewhere. They made a movie of his life and how he made the poor decision of living out there by himself and not being prepared, and the injury, and you know, just a whole bunch of things that lined up for it to fall apart and for him to lose his life. But the actor who portrayed that young man for 3 weeks drank water with lemons so that he could look the part of the man who was starving. I thought, wow. He's getting paid a lot of money for that, obviously. But that's quite a sacrifice. And then I looked at my fasting and prayer and thought, how committed am I? Would I live on water and lemons for 3 weeks? He did look terrible after that. And his purpose just for making a movie. Our purpose is to affect eternity. Amen. And thank God we can identify with what the Lord told us to do here and be in his plan and his will. A lot of instructions that the Lord gave were to correct the corruptions that had come about as a result of the Pharisees and Sadducees and all of these other groups that had their own slant on the way things should be done. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees has one huge distinction. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection, and the Pharisees did. That's a pretty big distinction. And the Apostle Paul used it to his advantage when he was being persecuted, arrested, and so on, and he stood up and started to speak to them and recognized, there's Pharisees and Sadducees here. And he said, I'm a Pharisee, and for the resurrection of the dead, I'm called in question this day. And immediately, there was a division and a dissension. And Paul used it to the advantage that he could have then time and opportunity to speak to the people and so on. And that's the effectiveness of division. And that's why the devil uses it so much, because he hates unity. And thank God the Lord would direct us in his prayer, both for a unity and a purpose to fulfill what God desires us to do. Now, hypocrisy was widespread, and the Lord didn't let it lie. He dealt with it. He tackled it. And he made accusations, and he gave strong teaching and so on. Because there was a lot of right being done, but being done in the wrong way. That's kind of a definition of a hypocrite, doing things right in the wrong way. And prayer was one of those areas. It's kind of ironic how people will look at religion, look at church, and put the brakes on because they feel like there's hypocrites, and they don't want to be a part of that. But yet, from the standpoint of hypocrisy, there's in every walk of life, to lawyers and doctors and politicians, Lord help us, and just you know, every area. But yet they willingly indulge in those areas, finance. My goodness, there are embezzlers and so on. You read about not just pennies, but thousands. But yet they're still involved in finance. Kind of like the person who found a counterfeit bill, and because of that one counterfeit bill, he burned up all of his bills. That's pretty stupid. Well, that's just an illustration, too, by the way. But that's how sometimes people react. And we could just tell them there's room for one more. No, not really. We want folks to be real. Amen. But pretending doesn't make sense. And this weekend, there's reader signs now about don't drive drunk and make sure your seatbelt's on and all of that because of the increased traffic that's going to be on the roads this weekend, tomorrow in particular, with Labor Day, and all of that aspect. Doesn't do any good to pretend. In fact, you're going to get in trouble if you pretend to put your seatbelt on and you don't have it on, like that fellow who, those cameras on the intersections, and the fella drove through and flash, and it's a bright flash. And he said, I stopped. I wasn't speeding. He went around the block and went through it again. Flash. He's getting aggravated now. He went around the block and did it again. And couldn't figure out, why is the camera going off? And then in the mail, he got tickets for not having his seatbelt on. The camera saw that. Well, don't pretend. And that's what the Lord was trying to establish here, is don't pretend in your prayers. And that's why he gave this model for us to follow. Being seen of men or being heard of God, what is more important? And obviously, we know being heard of God. And the Lord said, he's the Father who seeth in secret is going to reward you openly. And he's able to do that. He's omnipresent. He can, and omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing. He's God, and he can do those things, and it's not good to pretend, especially in prayer. When he talked about giving, he talked about praying, he talked about fasting, he made that emphasis. Your Father seeth in secret. He's going to reward you openly. Now, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the heathen. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel with his challenge to the prophets of Baal, the priests of Baal, and he is the lone representative of Jehovah. And he challenges 450 plus 400 more, and oh my, are they carrying on. From morning until noon, they're hollering, Baal, send fire. Baal, hear us. That's quite a long process. Elijah mocked them, and they got louder. They got more demonstrative. They began cutting themselves, and their blood mixed with the blood of the sacrifice, and it became quite a horrible scene. But that was their sincerity. That was their belief. And then finally, Elijah stood up and said, you know, it's my turn. And he made the altar. You know the process. He prayed. God answered by fire. Praise God. I think in our world today, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of departing from the truth and trying to make what is not real work, and a lot of Hollywood thrown in, if I could say it that way. But there needs to be those who know the truth, who know the one God, and who have the power of prayer in their experience. Time for them to step forward. Amen. And the Lord will answer by fire. Praise God. And in the New Testament, when they were called in question about saying there's no other God but one in Jehovah, and great is Diana of the Ephesians, went up the cry. How long did they holler like that? How long did they shout that phrase, great is Diana of the Ephesians? 2 hours, carrying on. Shouting and making racket. Now that's a huge crowd. And Paul and Silas, very much a minority. But God stepped in, praise God, and ministered in a great way. Praise God. So we're not going to just make noise. We're not just going to carry on with some kind of program. We're going to do the will of God. Amen. And it's ironic, too, that the model prayer that he gave has become almost repetitious in some. Nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we know it from memory. Nothing wrong with doing that. But to do it hundreds of times, just to do it, that is going against what the Lord said. Don't do vain repetition. So we've got to make sure we're zeroing in on the principles that the Lord established there and praying that model. Amen. Exactly. It wasn't something to memorize and give rote repetition to, because it can become empty. And prayer is not to be a time of just empty words, and your mind is somewhere else. You know, a job that you got to do, a task that you have to accomplish, somebody you need to go and see. Our minds can quickly move to something else, you know, while we're in the place of prayer. No, not empty words, but following what God declares for us to do. Now, here's what's amazing. The Father knows you have need of these things before you ask, because he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. So why do we pray then, if he already knows? Okay, it's part of relationship. It's exercise of faith. It's connection that we make, and following the principles that the Lord set forth and obeying him. That's why we pray. And we don't pray like the heathen with empty words and vain repetition. Yes, there's especially when we're praying the word. That's why praying the word is a good part of our prayer time. I used to think that praying is only done in a certain way, and my eyes closed, and so on. And I would spend my time in prayer like that. Now I open the word. Now I look at the word of God. I pray the word of God. And I think that's a beneficial part of what the Lord made available for us. Amen.
Just real quick, and also as a model, when we're looking at this as a model, first of all, my father, which are heavenly, how would you have
named? Yeah. And that's the challenge that we've got to put into our words or our experience, this model that the Lord put forth. And thank God we can claim him as our Father and my Father, our Father. Praise God. I'm glad I'm a part of a church that believes in prayer and has experienced the power of God, and I'm glad I can make it personal in my walk with the Lord and having him fulfill his word, amen, in our lives. When the scripture says we know not what we ought to pray, and it also says you have not because you ask not, that's when I've got to make sure thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And commit myself to that and to be directed by the power of the Lord. Here's something interesting. Father, in reference to God, in the Old Testament, only appears 15 times. I would have thought it had been quite a bit more than the New Testament. But Jesus, in the Gospels, refers to the Heavenly Father 165 times. So obviously there's a recognition of the relationship that needs to become even stronger, and that's what he's trying to put forth there and recognize this is the relationship that we can have. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Thank God we know his name. Amen. And the powerful name of the Lord. Now, the Jewish tradition was not to speak that name. The name was hallowed and honored. And when they were copying the scriptures, the pen that they used to write the YHWH, because they wouldn't even write out the name, that pen was set aside. It had done its highest work in writing the consonants of the name of God. And they picked up a new quill and continued writing. That's how they revered the name. And likewise, we revere the name of Jesus. But we want it to be known. We want it to be widespread. Praise God. And thank the Lord that we're able to exalt that name and lift up that name. Praise God. And know that his glory is what's going to be manifest. The model prayer begins and ends with the glory of God. And that's the way our worship is going to be as well, honoring the Lord and lifting him up. There's a submission that is included here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that submission is very important. Remember, I think it was, one of the previous lessons we talked about submission being a very important part of any mission that we're involved in. And certainly to step into that realm of submission and giving ourselves to the Lord in obedience and in honoring him far more than or prior to trying to step out on any kind of mission with the Lord. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Let him be the king in your life. Let him be the one on the throne of your heart. And be in submission to him. Praise God. And his will be done. Our wills get pretty strong. Our will gets pretty pronounced in things. And sometimes we're trying to convince the Lord. Do it my way, Lord. This is the way I think it ought to be done. And we've got to be able to pray like the Lord prayed. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. And that is important, not only to make a difference in our circumstances. We pray to make a difference in our circumstances. But really, I think the Lord can use prayer as an opportunity to make a difference in us. And that's thy will be done. And really, I think that's where we need to, just like the prayer starts that way, that's where we need to start. Not just at the end, but Lord, let your will be accomplished here. Amen. And then, in that process of prayer, there's petition. Give us this day our daily bread. And when I look at that phrase, I think of the manna that the Israelites had on their journey in the wilderness and how daily they had to take it up. And it just was a necessity. The extra that they got spoiled and didn't do them any good. But the fact that they had to get extra for the Sabbath showed that you can get a double blessing in the presence of the Lord. You can get double of what God wants to give you when you put time aside for him. Praise God, and thank the Lord. He provides that for us. But give us this day, and daily bread, the Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. James 1:17 opens up some amazing horizons for us when we consider how every gift, every good gift, in fact, every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. And it's kind of confusing when it says, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We get the variableness part. He's not going to change. But what about that shadow of turning? The Amplified renders that he is directly overhead. How can he be directly overhead in Alaska, but directly overhead in Namibia? You see the satellite disks that are here and there, and they're all aiming southeast. And sometimes they look like they're almost, you know, going to be hitting the ground or the hill. That satellite is down there somewhere in the southeast sky, and those satellites pick it up. Not directly overhead, but he is. Praise God. That's amazing, isn't it? And by faith, we believe that. And by faith, we experience that. And know he is there. No interruption in service. There's no problem with how that's going to work. And he's dispensing those gifts, perfect gifts, good gifts. Praise God. And he continues to provide that. That's the faith that reaches out for the power of God and to see him bring forth the results that he desires. Amen. Brother Mike, did you have your hand up there? Oh, okay. So, when the petitions, give us this day our daily bread, and what? What's the next petition? Forgive. Forgive us. And forgive us, commensurate to, in the same proportion. Ooh. Now then, that condition is a very, very powerful one. Forgive us our debts. Now, that's not talking about monetary. We did study in Matthew 18 about the guy who was forgiven millions because he asked, oh, be patient with me, I'll pay you back, I'll forgive. And the master had compassion on him and said, you don't owe anything. That same man encountered someone who owed him thousands. And he had been forgiven millions just moments before, and now he very harshly, very strongly condemns the man who owed him just a fraction. And the master found out about it. And oh my, things didn't turn out the way he thought. Well, we're not talking about debts. We're talking about forgiveness. And that illustration that was used there is strong in how we need to fulfill that. So our trespasses, our sins, our wrongdoings, our transgressions, and so on. And it's significant, I think, that the only commentary that the Lord offered on his model prayer, the only time he expanded a point, was on this aspect of forgiveness. As he knows our tendency to have trouble with that, to struggle with that. What does the word forgive mean anyway? If forgiveness is so important, what does forgive mean? That almost is so, too simple. But I think it's good for us to take a look at some of these words and make sure we grasp all of the significance of it and all of the connotations so that we can fulfill what he said. Brother Steve? All right. That's the part of it to just let it go. We talk about remission when the Lord says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission. And we exalt in that remission. Oh, we're thrilled with how the Lord can just wipe it clean. Do we do that? Hard to forget sometimes, isn't it? It just rolls over and over like a loop. 8-track loop. That's old-fashioned. Get rid of it. But your brain is of much more powerful than any computer, and it plays that over and over. No, let it go. The remission that the Lord gives us is what we give to others. Sister Esther. Yeah. And it reminds me of a Brother Bayer, I think his name was, or is. and he preached here several times, Kenai and Seward and so on. You probably remember the example that he made. I'm chasing rabbits here, but he was looking for somebody who would play the part of Bartimaeus. Remember that service? And he called on several ones and said, "You be Bartimaeus." No. Yo, we got to be quiet here. Remember that? And then he shut several people down until finally one, and I think it was Brother Lopez, Marcus, realized what he was looking for, and he just kept on. "Jesus, have mercy." And Brother Bear said, "Oh, okay, brother, okay. We got it. You did it right. Now it's time for the service to go on." And Marcus just kept on, "Jesus, have mercy." And oh my word, the service just exploded. And we were there 11:30, quarter to 12, still calling on the Lord and experiencing his power in a tremendous way. Well, that's not the service, that's not the message I'm thinking about. The message I'm thinking about is, if Jesus takes away our sins, what does he do with them? He preached that message. Amen. He casts them behind his back. He covers them with his blood. He puts them in the bottom of the sea. Praise God. And praise God. I don't care what he does with them, just so they're gone. And that's what he does. Praise God. And thank the Lord we're able to release the sins and let them go in that same way. Praise God. And then he says, oh, go ahead.
That allows God to do that with those things also.
Uh-huh. All right. And there's a divine action there, isn't there? There's a divine interaction that's got to take place. And thank God he's able to help us with that. Because, oh boy, it's sometimes a bit tricky. Brother Dave. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. That reference to, where is that, Brother Greg? He casts them into the sea. We call it the sea of forgetfulness. It just says he casts them into the sea. That reminds me of a man in a church that the church was used to being quiet. And this fellow had God really touch him and really get a hold of him. And man, he'd shout out, "Hallelujah, praise God." Finally, the usher said, "We don't do that in this church. We're quiet. And if you do it again, I'm going to have to put you in a different room." Well, he did. He couldn't help it. Praise God, he said. The usher came and got him. Took him to a Sunday school room where there were some old books and things. And it was quiet for a few minutes down there, and then, man, there was a ruckus going on down in that room. The usher had to come down and see what in the world was going on, and the man had an encyclopedia open. And he was looking at the article upon the ocean and how deep the ocean is. And then he said, "The Lord casts my sins into the water, into the sea, and it's that far down." And he was worshiping and praising the Lord because he saw how far under the water his sins were. Praise God. So the Lord helps us to release, to let go, to cover all of those sins. And when we struggle with that, I think it's okay to ask the Lord, "God, help me. Help me to forgive those who trespass against me as you've forgiven me." Praise God. And that part of it is, I think, really important to be able to walk in the realm that the Lord would have us. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from an unforgiving spirit. Deliver me from, you know, and all of those things that we might struggle with, I think the Lord can deliver us. Praise God. Because 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a beautiful promise that he will be faithful. There's no temptation that has taken you that is not common to man. And he'll not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Huh, that sounds like stretching a rubber band as far as you can just to see if it can. No, the Lord doesn't treat you like that. The Lord's not just playing games. The Lord's demonstrating his glory through you. His redeemed, his church, his beloved, you know, however you want to see yourself in the eyes of God. He wants to show the world, this is what I can do. Praise God. And his deliverance is powerful. His love is everlasting, and his faithfulness is great. Amen. That's what we hold on to. And I believe that the Lord is going to provide and minister to us in that way. Praise God. So we've asked the Lord for these things. And thank God he's there to minister to us in those regards. And then we come back to worship. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Praise God. And at that point, we're just about going ballistic. Praise God. Because we're focusing again on him. And we're giving praise and worship to him because he is worthy. Praise the Lord. And that power is what we are able to experience and know in the blessings of the Lord in such a great way. So we pray in public, but we also pray in private. And it almost seems that the Lord is emphasizing this private prayer even more so than the public prayer. And he's saying, "Your Father who sees in secret is going to reward you openly." But that necessity of having that time alone with God, having that time in secret with God is absolutely imperative. And the Lord can bring his reward and his blessing in that regard as well. But to eliminate public prayer is foolishness too. I mean, that's why we come together. That's why we are able to enjoy our a time of worship and praise and exalting the Lord. And to say no, you can't do that. That's thwarting the plan of God. Or to say, you're not supposed to be talking in tongues unless there's an interpreter. No, that's misunderstanding what God would do. You're talking in tongues, you're edifying yourself. You're talking to the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 14 brings that out. Amen. And we shouldn't want to squelch it and shut it down. No, no, praise God. We're gonna worship. We're going to exalt. We're going to praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Steve.
At the beginning, when you emphasized when thou prayest, that it's kind of like a command, when thou prayest, to pray. But I saw down in verse 6 where it says, when thou hast shut thy door, too. So it's a man that's learning how to shut that door.
And I think understanding what the Lord is saying there is, take time to be with the Lord. Shut the door on all kinds of worldly concerns. You know, I got to pay this bill. Oh, I got to do this on the job. Oh, my house needs this and so on. Just take time to be shut in with God. You know, we sing that old song, shut in with God in a secret place, there in the Spirit beholding his face, gaining new power to run in this race. I long to be shut in with God. That's good.
Yeah.
Praise God. But then come out and work, too. Come out and be the answer that, you know, that God wants to provide for you. Thank the Lord. We're able to step into that. Okay. Right, and that special time with God, that private time with God, there's other songs that talk about the sweet hour of prayer, and thank God that, you know, we're able to spend that time in the Lord. It almost seems like we want instant results, instant devotions, instant time with God. You know, condense it and concentrate that, microwave it. And, well, that's better than nothing, but you're cheating yourself. If all you're spending is, you know, a couple of minutes, enjoy his presence. Praise God. Worship and lift him up. And thank God we're able to step into that realm. Okay, there's a saying from the rabbis that goes like this. He who prays within his house surrounds it with a wall that is stronger than iron. So that's talking about the prayer at home as well as prayer at the church. And thank God we can know the power and the blessing of the Lord. There's a blending of complexity and simplicity in prayer. That's pretty unique. It is so complex in how the Lord is able to work in people's lives and circumstances and in health and finance. All of that stuff, but then so simple in how he's able to answer what we pray and end it with the glory. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Praise God. And thank the Lord we're able to know his power in that regard. Amen. So we don't just study about it. It's good to study. But we actually do it. And that kind of stepping into faith is very important. So we're remembering today the Wades. Amen. God would be with them and touch their bodies with healing. Brother Steve, Brother Greg, ongoing situations here that we're praying about. Sister Denny, my wife's mother, is traveling on Tuesday. We want the Lord to keep her safe.